You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Anime Call episode 11, not 6 months later. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by, as always, Dodger and Indy. Hello.
Hello.
Yo.
Dodger's just doing, you can't see this audio format only, but Dodger is like doing circles in her chair. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah. I still don't have a door, man. Did I have a door last
no,
time?
No, you did
we hung
not
out?
Have a door last
time. The last time was the door reckoning. That's when
yeah. You still don't have a door. Oh my God.
I still don't have a door.
Is it cold over there?
That's why you have a jacket on.
It is cold. Yeah.
She is bundled up.
The turkeys are climbing the steps next to my door, making all kinds of noise. I just say, I need a door. Gentlemen, I need a door.
Yeah.
Soon.
When you have turkeys coming up to the door and be like, it's warm in here. What's going on? Should I
Please.
Come in?
We got to monetize Christmas, this podcast to get Dodger a door.
Yeah, we need to. Let's make sure we can do a regular episode for at least 3 months straight.
Yeah, and here we go.
We can talk about it. Good. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm very excited for this episode because this was a weird one. And
yes,
I'm excited. So we watched Serial Experiments Lane. This was so weird. For the first time, I wrote an outline for this episode because I feel like I needed to be structured. So like, we'll see if it sticks, obviously. But before we jump into it, let's just give the setup as to what this show is. So Serial Experiments Lane came out in 1998. So like same year as Cowboy Bebop and Trigun kind of came out. And right around is Evangelion also dropping as well. The creator and writer of the show is Shiaki Konaka. I think I pronounced that right. This guy comes from a background of massive horror and Lovecraftian like stuff, which suddenly makes sense.
Yeah, no
the
kidding.
Director is
you can see it.
The director is Ryutaro Nakamura. He passed away in 2013, but Serial Experiments Lane kind of is his magnum opus of a show. And then the art design was by Yoshitoshi Abe. I like deep dove this show. I learned that this show is not just a show. It was like a media experiment. It had a PS1 game. It had a weird like pre manga prior. And interestingly, the opening theme was not like a J-pop thing. It was Duvet by BoA, which was a British indie rock band.
That threw me so hard when the opening started.
That song made me feel like I was in the van with my mom heading to the grocery market. I felt like that was the kind of music my mom listened to, that, you know, like depressed girl music, I guess. So the pitch of the show, and I'm just going to kind of go in with spoilers right away just because there's no real way to talk about it. All about middle schooler Lane Iwakura, who receives an email at the beginning of the show from Chisa Yamada, who is a classmate who committed suicide a week prior. This is episode one. This is how the show opens. Chisa claims, though, if she isn't dead, that she has just abandoned her meat body to go live in the Wired, which is the internet in this world, where she has found God. Lane, who's kind of like in episode one, I wouldn't call her like a technophobe, but she's like kind of detached from what the kids are doing with email. Like email is not something she understands. Eventually installs a brand new Navi, which is what they call computers in this show, And they die, and she gets into the Wired to find out what's going on with this email and that people are getting. And she discovers through events that she has two distinct personalities. The one we see in the real world, Lane, who's kind of like a shy girl. But then there's this internet version of Lane, who is this kind of mean girl, like rumor, like aggressive, very much a parallel to the anonymity of the internet, I think, can do to a person.
100%.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, as the show goes, we watch as the lines between reality and the Wired world really literally dissolve. The sky begins to open up. A giant image of Lane appears in the clouds at one point, and reality itself starts to glitch. Lane confronts God in the Wired, rejects his plan, and like chooses to sacrifice herself to save the world. And in the end, sort of erases herself from existence to save reality. And that is the pitch of what Lane is. And if you want to go watch the show and you haven't, when you're listening to this podcast without watching it, please go watch it. There's four main characters that we really kind of keep track of. Obviously, Lane being the main one. We have her best friend, Alice. We have Masami Iri, who is the project director of Protocol 7, which we'll talk about. And then the father, who's kind of like a big one, but her whole family in general, who's his dad, Yasuo, who's the one who gets her whole Navi setup. And on that, what did you guys know about Lane before going into the show? Out of curiosity, what going to Serial Experiments Lane is, had you heard about it before? Was it a show you had seen before? I'm very curious.
Dodger, you want to go?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, because mine was nothing. Like, I have a friend that really likes it. But she wanted me to watch it, but she hasn't said anything about it. So she was very excited, and I'm sure she's going to be listening to this episode. But other than that, I knew literally nothing. Apart from Mike saying it's weird, which when I watched that first episode, I'm like, man, what the hell, dude? Like, I'm doing this shit again.
One of those situations where weird might not really cover it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It just, there was nothing to grab onto. It was just scenes happening one after another that I could not grasp. But then there was a little bit on episode two when they go to the club, and there's like a little bit more structure to everything, and I could like connect with Lane a little bit and then start understanding. But yeah, that first episode, I was very worried. But yeah, I knew nothing, literally nothing.
The show, and to be fair, the show isn't really told chronologically in some parts, but like, anyway, Dodger, what about you?
The only thing that I knew is that this show is a bit divisive. I did not, but in terms of what it's about or, you know, anything like that, I didn't know. So going into it and watching the first episode, I had kind of the opposite experience, I think, to Indy, where I was going, oh, this is weird, but in a really interesting way. Like, the pacing of the show is obviously meant to be uncomfortable. There are so many scenes that go on for a long time, and you're like, and it didn't feel like, there are some shows that we've watched up till now where we've been like, man, the budget, huh? what are we doing with this scene? It felt really intentional when a scene would go on for too long or when something would be too uncomfortable. I think the sound design in the show is amazing. So yeah, the whole first episode, I was kind of buckled in, like, okay, this is going to be very weird. I can see why it's divisive. I could imagine plenty of people watching this and being like, no, thanks.
Find yourself still by the end of the show? Were you still like, do you still feel the same way after like having 13 episodes in? Do you still like, yeah, that was worth my time? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's definitely a point where you start getting kind of fed up with not totally understanding what's going on, right?
Like, 100%.
There was a point where I was like, do I know what's happening in this show? I don't know if I do, you know.
We're gonna talk about it, baby. I'm so excited. Yeah,
by the end of it, I, you know, piecing stuff together was a bit easier, but even still, the whole thing is meant to be sort of surreal. And I kind of felt like, even if I didn't know what was going on, there was a vibe that they clearly wanted to get across and sort of a message they wanted to get across about the rising of the internet and sort of like losing your sense of self in the internet, right? That I was like, even if I walked away and was like, I don't really know what was happening in that show, I still got that, right? I got the base message of that, I think. So
it's crazy because, again, the year it came out in 1998, the internet was like starting to just bloom, and how more relevant I think the show is now than it was in 1998 in a lot of ways.
Actually insane how spot on the show is for like, this was like specifically VR chat, which was like, it had a big boom back like 2018.
Yeah.
But still people spend like 12 hours a day in that thing, just like hanging out with people. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, that is so absurd.
I know.
You got to get out of there, man. Like, that shit ain't real.
Like, grass, dude.
Yeah, you're not hanging around Freddy Fazbear. Like, you got to go, like, go outside or something. So, yeah, the fact that 1998 has hit this obsession with living inside an internet world before any, like, it did remind me of Psycho Pass as well, when they had that whole internet, like the avatars that they were playing as well as Persona 4. I don't know if you guys have played that, but
I never played Persona 4.
Yeah, like with the students dying like mysteriously at the start, like jump, like committing suicide. That gave a very, I thought it was going to be like a Persona 4 thing where someone's like killing them inside the wired, and obviously it's them. It turns out they were just killing themselves because they didn't want to hold on to their human body, and they wanted to live in this crazy VR chat world. But I'd like the thing you mentioned, Mike, where like, do you regret, or would you like recommend? Like, I like feeling uncomfortable and like not liking everything about a show, I think is super important. So like, I would always recommend like watching weird shit that you like, you're not like 100% on board with, or that you're like, oh fuck, that was awesome at the end. Like, yeah, I think it's very important to like be uncomfortable, and that definitely hit me with this one.
Even to the creators of some of the interviews that I was listening to after watching this, they say even some of it is that's vague. They don't even have full answers for, which I really like appreciate. For me, like my history of the show, you just did the back to back my first two real animes. Like, after Ava and the anime club in high school in ninth grade, they immediately went to Serial Experiments Lane. I was like, okay, it was
your
this?
Anime club was crazy.
They were fucking nuts.
What were they doing?
He was
man.
A senior. He was gone after that. And that was it. Like, he was just like, fucking, I'm going to fuck these kids up.
I'm going to inject some culture into these children, and then I'm going to fucking leave.
It was nuts. All I remembered about it was weird, and internet, girl has internet powers. And like, that was like all I remembered about it, because it's been 20 some odd years. Going back and watching this now, I feel like that person who watches a crazy person rambling and understands every word they say. There's so much here that, because I've done Chilluminati for 10 years, almost 8 years now, and I've like gone deep in a lot of the shit, there's a lot that they're throwing at me that I was like, oh, I see what they're getting at with some of this. So there's like, I've got like three main layers of like what this show is talking about. And like, the first one is the more open, obvious one, where it's clearly talking about, obviously, as I said, the internet and how giving anonymity to people and what that does to people, what that immediate connection is. And do we lose our identity when we become a hive mind of just everybody on social media? Like, and to me, talking about that, like them kind of broaching that idea of losing your identity when going online feels like social media now, right? Like, that's what it feels like, this hive mind of like, vibes and algorithm and stuff. And it's also very clearly like mental health focused with Lane.
For sure.
The creators also say in episode one, when we see like smoke come out of her fingers, that is supposed to represent, we're going to be seeing the story through her perception of reality for the entire show, and schizophrenia and like what that is and stuff. I don't know, like it is so relevant to today. It was just crazy watching it and being like, fuck man, like did they have like a peek into the window of what 30 years from then was gonna be? Because it tackles everything from like an identity crisis to what happens to like when people connect, what anonymity does with
even
like the other version of internet lane,
like with the knights coming to her house and like looking through her window. I'm like, that's doxing.
That's
that
true.
Like happens to live streamers, which obviously did not exist back then. So it's like, man, like, yeah, they looked through something. They figured something out, and they're like, yeah, this is going to be, you guys don't understand this one, but in 30 years, it's going to fucking hit you like a brick.
Like a Back to the Future moment.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I wrote down episode 9 has aliens. I see why Mathis likes it. That's one of my notes.
Yeah, but we'll get to that because the reason there's an alien. Oh, God, we'll get to it. That's like three layers. That's like the third layer, all right? We'll get there. This show is fucking crazy. But it also talks about the surveillance state. But yeah, go ahead, Dodger.
I was going to say, I think one of the really interesting parts of this that helps add some dimension is having characters involved that are not in this universe, right? Like, I think Alice is such an important character.
Yes.
Because at the start, right, she's one of the people in class who's like, why don't you check your email? Check your fucking email, man. Like, what are you doing? It's important to like stay connected, right? And as it goes on, she's the one who's like, how do I get you out of this, right? And I think either we have been or we know somebody who has basically become terminally online to a like dangerous extent, right? And having somebody who can be like, come on, man, let's like get out of the house, right? Is so important. Having that person who really cares enough to be like, you need to detach sometimes.
Yeah. Like this industry that we're in of just like the online entertainer industry is just, there is no separation, right? From like work and life for a lot of these people. And like, yeah, we've seen countless people just kind of like lose themselves. And even now, like within the past 3 years, not even in our industry, but just what AI has done to people, like ChatGPT and stuff, of people losing themselves into these psychoses, into these like fake worlds that this AI is creating. But the AI is based on an amalgamation of human intelligence that it is just stolen from the internet. Like, it's fucking crazy. The show is so like relevant to today. It like blows my mind.
Also, her family that we, I think, later realize are not, or like plants,
really her family?
Right?
Yeah.
The whole start, I felt so vindicated because the whole start of the show is her basically going to her mom and being like, hey, mom, I saw somebody die today. And her mom being like, all right, fuck off.
Seriously?
And I was like, what is her problem? Yes. What is going on? And then the dad, like egging her on to basically be like more and more
online.
And I was like, what is happening with this family? And it finally, like when it became obvious that they weren't her real parents, I was like, oh, thank God, because what is going on here?
But there's also like to that degree of like a message of like today, right? Of like the parents who are desensitized and, you know, free access to the internet, and how people just don't, you get so desensitized to fucking shit happening every fucking day that like, okay, cool. One of your friends died. Maybe another one will die tomorrow. Who fucking knows? Yeah, sorry. I feel like Indy was going to say something too, and I was like completely jumped in.
It was just the, yeah, like you mentioned, because our lives are completely online, basically. I think we were very lucky. I know Mike, and I'm sure Dodge is the same, that we had life. We had to go through like the job system before we got into this thing. But there's a lot of like really young, mainly Twitch streamers now who are like a 16 straight out of school, get big on Twitch, and they never know life outside of this bubble that we're living in. And that's it. It hits their ego in like just a horrific way that is like, you can tell the people who have had, I don't want to say real jobs, but like who have been through that, you know, the retail hospitality system, and then they've gone into this online, and it's like, you can like immediately, the way they talk, the way like they present themselves, it's incredibly different. And that it's just a dangerous world that we live in online.
Even early in YouTube world, man, like there's people that like found success, never had to worry about, like never thought about it. And then when, as many things do in entertainment, the tides change, the failure to adapt, they become irrelevant. They're like, they're left with like, what do we do? Because in their world, that was forever.
Now
it's all gone for what, you know, X, Y, or Z reason. And they didn't have anything prepped. You know, a lot of them move out to more expensive places, live more expensive lives, think that. But like, yeah, I think like that I lived experience of like having to work in the, like you said, retail or hospitality industry really does. It makes every penny I get that's not going to bills like cherished. You know what I mean?
Like
it just makes you more
like, I'm like, it's going into the house because I need this house paid off because I don't know how long this is going to last. Like,
exactly.
And then, yeah, like a lot of people that are really young, they get into this industry, don't realize that. They're like, oh, yeah, this will last forever. But you never, they don't realize that they're never going to see this amount of money in any other industry that they're like, what they can get into after it all falls through. So, yeah, that's a, yeah.
You like, see what it fallbacks do you have?
Like, yeah, like, yeah, all, exactly. Like so many of our friends have just gone from like those 2013 days. Like, they just, 100%. They don't exist. They're like not online anymore at all. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Dude, I was talking about, and not we're not going to tangent, obviously, but what was that gun game we played online? The Firebreak, Fire something that was like an MMO briefly. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot the name of
How many people we were streaming with that just don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like just gone. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. We got to get back to the show itself. So I'm going to hard shift back to the show because, you know,
it's kind of like the thing with keep your hands off Isakin. It brought out that creative stuff from us, and we're like, oh, that's us creative. And now we watch this show and we're like, oh shit, that's our dark internet side. Like, oh,
that's the art.
Shit. I'm in this show and I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yeah.
It's also a really cool time capsule of our generation, too, because we came, like, Lane very much represents that transitionatory period between pre and post technology. Like, being a millennial is so, like, looking at the grand scheme of like, generations, it's a very unique one where technology showed up and evolved in such a rapid pace. We watched the first home computer and now AI within 30 years of us being alive. Like,
yeah, the millennials have gone through it for like technology. Like, I remember like being so excited to get home, turn on the internet because it wasn't something that was always on, and like playing like Habbo Hotel and living in worlds like that it's like, yep, there's us in this 1998 show. It's kind of crazy.
It's on, no matter where we have the internet in the palm of our hands, no matter where we goddamn go.
And it's so. It's just instant. It's never gone. Like, the internet is always there. It's crazy. Anyway, back to the show.
Yeah, back to the show. They obviously tackle kind of like the idea of the surveillance state. Like you said, you had the knights showing up. Also, the men in black show up, and a lot of conspiracy layers end up showing up. Episode 8 is the one where I have the notes where they talk about Majestic 12 and all this stuff, which is all real world conspiracy nonsense stuff. I say nonsense, but you never know with that alien shit. Like you were saying too, man, like I have it in my notes is like, they also VR, like you're talking about, like, just like that connection. I've never done VR chat personally. The motion sickness is too much, but that also feels like a dangerous addiction. I feel like I could, you know, there's a version of me who's vulnerable and young who like would have found VR chat and I would have been my life. Like, I lost so much of my life to MMOs because it was a place I felt important and like I had value, you know. And VR chat, I feel like, would have been just another. The identity crisis, I guess, is just at the center of, like, this shit the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't ever went into the VR side of VR chat. I just played the game because I was making content on it. I love that those videos are on my channel forever of me interacting with just so many of the weirdest people that I've ever met in my life. But it was like, it is a very dangerous thing of like, a lot of people don't like themselves, like body issues, or they don't like their personality. And that's a very easy thing to jump into and not have to worry about any of that and socialize, which could be a good thing. But also the way that people get obsessed with it and spend all day, every day and things like that is very, very dangerous. It's awful to see.
Which I wonder, like, part of them talking about how people are alive online. She sees, like, Lane in the show often sees, you know, these ghostly images of these dead people through, assume, like, the wire itself in the real world and stuff. And it's like these remnants of what's online of them kind of there. And there's that, like, there's that thought process of, like, if you're dead, are you really always dead? Like, I constantly think about when I'm gone, there's going to be hundreds and maybe even thousands of hours of me online, just out there. And it's like, am I dead at that point? Like what is death at that point? Yeah. What is existence? What is identity? And the version of me online is always a more entertaining, quote unquote, version than how I might be in your usual, like, you know, and so people start only remembering that version of you after you're gone. So like, her seeing these ghosts
and
these
Mathis
kind of...
You're the Mathis of Theseus, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly, dude. Yeah, exactly. Imagine a thousand years from now, fragments of
I only remember
like,
Mathis as he is in the videos. Is that really Mathis that, really then, Mathis? That I'm remembering?
Exactly. Yeah. It's existential. Like, this show just, like, sure. So many existential questions, and the internet itself is, like, an existential product of humanity, man. Like, it's... AI is another, like, I keep going back to, because it is also that identity crisis. When it is something like an amalgamation of all of, you know, online human knowledge kind of condensed into the single program, all the identity and all the work of those individuals it stole from is lost, and it becomes a muck. And is there personality there? Like, is there where, like, how much of humanity is lost when it is all blended together in, like, a hive mind? Soma kind of talked, like, asked this question as like later on in the video game for right now. Pluribus is kind of, I don't know if you've seen that show, but
I'm waiting for it to be done. So let's no spoilers, but
nothing.
But like that idea of, like, you know, identity and stuff. And like, this show really constantly also hammers home of, like, what are we losing? Like, what is the internet, if we really think about it, going to cost humanity at, like, its artistic core, at its soul in a weird way?
I mean, it predicted a lot of, it's happened so many times with the first one was World of Warcraft, where the kid killed themselves because they wanted to live in Azeroth. And then it happened with Avatar. Someone killed themselves.
The Slenderman stabbings.
Like, it nailed, like, with these kids being like, I don't want to live in this shitty real world when, like, this online world. And then I don't know how many kids died in this show, but there was, like, a bunch of suicides.
A lot of suicides. Yeah. Which is, by the way, the show is not streaming anywhere right now.
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube. I didn't even get the intro. So when you guys talking about the intro
YouTube
music,
too.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they must
you
have
to,
like,
find the playlist that said with OP.
Oh, that's my bad.
If you use the Internet Archive link has it with the intro.
Yeah, I did watch the intro on YouTube by itself afterwards. Yeah. I'm like, there's no intro? But yeah, there was.
I don't know, man. I don't know how to shift from this to, like, the next thing that, like, we can just kind of move to, because obviously, like, it also talks about, the last thing I guess I would talk about is, like, it also has very much, like, lies. It talks about how very, like, what we deal with now with misinformation, how quickly lies spread faster than truth, but how lies can change the reality of a person. And Alice being the perfect example of, like, the lie about her having an inappropriate relationship with her teacher how that's not really, like, true, but that completely changed everything about her social reality because it spread faster than the truth ever would spread. And it's the belief that the lie is true that's all that matters. And that can change as we're watching actively as we live life right now, how lies can just change reality for people who even know the truth.
Well, that's all. Yeah. That's supposed to be, like, Lane's, like, superpower, so to speak, in the world, right? Is that she can alter memories. She can change what people perceive to be true. Mm-hmm. Which is cool because it creates a situation where she, from the get-go, is an unreliable narrator, right? Like, you don't know really when you're in the wired or not with her. You don't always know what's real or what's something that's been adjusted.
Yeah.
Which, again, culminates in the end when she's like, I think it's better if I'm not here. And
just she's sentient
creates a world
code
where she never existed.
Because, like, she's not really a person. She's, like, sentient code made, given, like, a physical body.
Yeah.
I think is, like, what it is.
Did you guys notice? Sorry.
Please.
Did you guys notice that when she's at school, anytime she looks at the blackboard, it's code?
Yes.
It's never, like, normal school stuff on the board. It's always, like, if-then statements and shit. And I was like, okay.
And
are they
and
actually,
like,
teaching
in
coding, or is that just how she perceives the world? Yeah.
And the more she's online, the world itself gets blurrier. It gets weirder. Mm-hmm. Silhouettes and stuff happening. It's fucking fascinating. And it can be interpreted in, like, so many different ways. Before we move on to, like I said, there's a PS1 game out there apparently that never made it to any English, like, speaking countries. And it is not really a game. It is a series of out of order chronological cutscenes, lots of which are locked. There are ends you can get to, but the only thing you can do is hit left or right to like switch to like what's accessible. Someone's like a diary entry. One might be like a weird like secret, or go up and down in layers to other ones. Some of them are locked. Some of them you can't go until you sit passively on one of them for like a set amount of time and then unlocks another one. Sometimes it'll unlock something but won't tell you right away until you like, and it's not chronological. And people who have gotten all the scenes and set it up in chronological order, it still isn't fully coherent.
Shout out to Dungeon Chill. He has an hour
dude,
and
I
half.
Watched it. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Like that guy, yep. if you want to know about that game, that guy made a fantastic video. Do you know there's a 2025
it.
Lane game on Steam?
No, I did no. not.
It's
oh,
called
shit.
Signal. It's got 9% rating.
Oh, that,
very negative.
I love that. Oh my God, I got to go look.
Yeah,
Signal.
So just search. It's
Is like, it free? The Signal free or $1.99?
It's $9.
I'll just hit enter and see what pops up. Either way, I'm excited to fucking play that.
It's
Even
only
it's
Japanese, so
ass.
You'd have to like.
Oh, there it is. Yes.
Yeah,
/ signal
yeah,
dot,
that's the one,
my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah.
Mostly negative.
Oh.
19
yeah, mostly
May,
negative.
This, yeah, that's crazy that we got.
It says, but this is an officially authorized derivative RPG fan game created in accordance with Lane TTL. What the fuck?
It's
okay.
Insane.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play that just because I'm fucking fascinated.
Yeah.
This Lane is like a media
You guys
experiment.
Have to read the reviews. They're so funny.
Okay, hang on. Let me get down there.
This
it's
is
just
ass.
As bad as
8 crying emojis.
Just question marks. God, I love it.
Huh? This is yeah, this is ass. The game actually sucks and is barely even functional. The PS1 game was better than
PS1
this.
PS1 game
oh,
was better.
God. This is worse than the Rule 34.
I gotta play that. I'm gonna have to fucking play that game.
Oh my God.
That can be like a bonus episode of you playing whatever
Anywho.
That is.
Now you're going to have to endure me rambling for a little bit because layer two is like, Lane is also, a Serial Experiments Lane is also kind of like a parallel, almost retelling or an interpretation of the Gnostic Gospels. I don't know how familiar you are with the Gnostic Gospels, so I'm going
not
to just
all.
Like, I'm not going to like spend a ton of time on it, but the idea is in Gnosticism, God, in Gnostic Christianity, God isn't the God that we understand in like Christianity with like the Holy Trinity of Jesus, God, and whatever. God is unknowable. He is omnipresent, unknowable, not a he, him. It is an entity, one that is also within us as well. Like we are piece, a sliver of God experiencing itself in the world. And Jesus in those Bibles is way more of like a guru looking at like enlightenment within and less about without and stuff. But the physical world that we live in was created by a what they call the demiurge. The name is Yaldabaoth, and that's the God that we in Christianity assumes God. He's like a fake God that created Earth, created humans, and he thinks he's the only God because he's kind of ignorant and arrogant in these Gnostic Bibles. Now, Masami Eri, who wrote Protocol 7 in the show, he's the guy who wrote Protocol 7. The idea of like bringing right. all of humanity into like one single hive mind consciousness. He created the new world. He's very much the demiurge.
He's what everybody calls God in the show.
Exactly. He's what everybody yeah. says is God when he's not God. He demands worship, just like Yaldabaoth and the God of, you know, the fake God of the Gnostic Bibles would say. He's petty. He's jealous, desperate for Lane's validation in particular. Because Jesus in the Gnostic Bibles understands that Yaldabaoth isn't really God and the real God, you have to just like meditate and that kind of shit. And that is extremely, to me, felt very like a clear parallel. And then the knights of in the show are what in the Gnostic Bibles are called kind of archons. They're the servants of Yaldabaoth who are there to maintain the illusion to make sure everybody still thinks the fake God is God, reality stays, because if they realize it, reality cracks apart, Yaldabaoth loses his power, humanity realizes they're a sliver of actual God, and he loses his power. He's no longer worshipped.
The emerging of the wired in the real world.
Yes, yeah, correct. Yeah. Right.
So Yaldabaoth is, he's essentially running a cult under the umbrella of Gnosticism.
Yeah, he's like, I'm God, I created you to humanity, you worship me. Because the real God is unknowable. He doesn't really reach out and go, I'm here. you have to kind of figure that out. And Jesus was not the son of this Yaldabaoth. He was a man who had enlightened, had like self-enlightenment through like meditation, and urged people to like seek peace and love within themselves. And that gets you close to God. Because, I mean, if you look at the, you know, early like the Old Testament with like God wiping out the planet with a flood, you know, very angry, kind of jealous God in that way. But Lane is also a parallel to what I would consider. She's kind of Jesus and Sophia from the Gnostic Bible as well. And in the Gnostic Bible, Sophia is a divine being who fell from heaven into the chaos of this world. And she's kind of trapped here as like scattered as shards of light within other human souls. It's really fucking weird. Like, that's why Lane is like a mix of like Jesus and this other stuff. She's like a fallen entity who slowly wakes up, which is Gnosis, to the realization of who she is, which is kind of Lane waking up to realize, oh, I am this omnipotent kind of being in the wired. And when she's when she finally realizes this, she rejects the demiurge, Eerie in the show, and kind of like realizes the superior, that she's superior to him because she has empathy and love for Alice in the show. Like, it's that Gnostic very much like the parallel of like just again this fake god of like wanting to rule all this stuff, and it's up to Lane to be like, I can't do this, and in doing so, sacrificing herself like Jesus did to save everybody. When I told my friend I was watching it, he's like, oh, the internet Jesus show. That's how he remembers it. And I'm like, I don't remember any of that stuff. That, yeah, it really is though. It also talks about, you know, the body being a prison or like meat. You know, it's kind of, the show's kind of a little obsessed with like the grossness of biology. A lot of imagery with wires piercing skin, coolant leaks like blood, that kind of stuff in the show. And Eerie's own argument is that evolution stalled because we are trapped in individual meat sacks. In order to move on, we all need to merge our fucking minds into pure data, become a singular perfect organism, and then move on from there. But like the show posits is that, isn't that beauty of humanity? Like,
oh yeah, they did that in Psychopaths as well with the...
Yeah.
Yeah, putting all the brains in the...
Evangelion too with the Human Instrumentality Project. Like, it's all there. Even Cyberpunk 2077 dabbles in that shit with like the Soul Killer Engram programs, right? Like,
what a great game, man.
Right? So I literally, the fifth anniversary trailer had it on my mind.
It makes sense though. That's kind of a natural progression of like the more technology there is. People have always been fascinated with the idea of like immortality through technology, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things, I think, sort of naturally combine into, well, if I were to upload myself, what's to keep me from becoming more than I am now as a human, right?
Because that's like where we're going next in a lot of weird ways. Like, that feels like where humanity, whether we want to go there or not, is like we're being dragged in that direction, is like merging ourselves with technology or integrating technology into our biology.
Certainly with AI now.
It's
going crazy. But
that with AI and like the less talked about stuff like quantum computing chips, the breakthroughs they've been having, which has been crazy breakthroughs recently, scares me because like they'll eventually be joined together. What the fuck is that going to do? Like,
yeah,
I don't even like, it's impossible to comprehend. But the last like chunk that this is the stuff where I felt like a person understanding a crazy person's rant comes in, because of all that like Gnostic stuff fits. There's a lot in the show that has nothing to do with that stuff, and it's thrown at you rapid fire. I'm curious what your notes are, Indy, if you have any, for like the episode 8 where they talk about a lot of this stuff. But a lot of stuff is talked about, like the new sphere, stuff like the Schumann resonance, which is the kind of the hertz at which the earth hums between its core and the outer atmosphere, and supposedly the resonance at which human brains operate, and the idea of tuning ourselves to that resonance to merge consciousness, and why the internet or the wired world can seamlessly move in and out because their brains are tuned to 7.83 hertz, which is the Schumann resonance hertz. Then the thing about aliens too. The idea is not about aliens here, but they even talk about a little bit the holographic universe, which is a genuine theory. The idea of the holographic universe, in another way you can look at it, is we're inside of a black hole, is that information is always on the outer edges and kind of projected inward. And in that way, time doesn't exist. Everything kind of exists all at the same time, always. But the idea is that consciousness itself, if it's fundamental to a reality as a whole, forms or creates creatures. So the gray aliens may not exist, but if there's enough people on Earth that truly believe gray aliens exist, that they truly believe that these things but then the aliens start showing up as like thought forms, as what's known as egregores, which is what that was representing in the show. The idea that like human consciousness, reality, is way more wobbly than we understand, and that human consciousness, or consciousness in general, changes that. And they kind of address that, as we talked about with the lie, how a simple lie can take someone's reality and change it in a way they cannot control for the worse, because belief by a group of people can change and create reality. And in this series takes that idea, explores it on the socio level, and also fucking goes into the deep end, starts talking about Roswell, the Majestic 12, the Schumann resonance, holographic reality principle, all this shit that quantum science right now is starting to poke at and starts realizing reality may not actually be super solid and things may not be as rooted as we think they are. And Lane, the series feels like a wild kind of just like off the leash exploration of that idea as a grand concept of like, what is reality? And does the human mind warp reality in all levels, from socio down to like the weird shit? Like, ghosts might not be real, but maybe enough people believe in ghosts or believe there is a type of ghost haunting a certain place that little bits of that kind of activity start happening anyway. If everybody in the town believes that abandoned home at the end of the street is haunted by Uncle Joe, who throws things at people when they get near, and they truly do, and then that starts to happen, does that mean that spirit's real?
It's the thing where a house is haunted. The guy who believes in aliens says it's aliens. The guy who believes it's ghosts says it's ghosts. The guy who is religious says it's a sign from Jesus. It's just like, through the exact, there's no truth there. The exact same thing has happened. It's just three people's different minds have created a completely different story that tons of people will believe in because they heard it from that guy who believes in aliens or that guy who believes in whatever. Like the lie with the mass of people behind it is like one of my biggest fears in this industry that we're in. The amount of people that have been quote unquote canceled, and then it turns out it was just like a vindictive person, like rallying a lot of people behind him. That's like, what can you do? You're screwed. Yeah. Like if someone brings up something believable enough and has enough, following, or people just jumping on because they want to jump on because that's just what the internet does, which is a big part of like leaving social media, I think, is a super important thing that everyone should be doing. But that's one of my biggest fears in this industry is like one person that doesn't like me enough could create just a narrative that is like life destroying. And that's like, holy, the power of one person hating me is terrifying. Of like, yeah, that's crazy.
It takes them convincing enough people that truth to take hold. That, can I say truth in air quotes?
Yeah,
but like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, whether it is true or not, but that's all like, again, the episode where Elaine realizes she can just change reality and make that rumor go away, but like another version of herself shows up, is when the shit, I really think the show's like, you thought we were crazy? We are about to fucking go crazy right now.
Yeah, I think I wrote here episode 11 had a 10-minute guitar solo. And there's nothing else happening. So around episode 11 was like, I'm not going to understand the end of this, so I'll wait and then like, I'll have to look into it. And the first thing you see when you Google this is like, one of the first questions is, does Lane make sense or is it supposed to just be batshit? I'm like, yeah, that guy.
Bull.
Yeah,
it's
that
bull.
Guy knows what's up.
Because that's what I love about it is like, there's a lot of ways you can interpret some of the stuff that's happening in the show. And it's just left vague on purpose. But there's enough nutty shit in there where I'm like, I see a bigger picture. And I feel like I'm like,
it definitely has that Illuminati thing going through your brain of like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because as soon as I finished, I was like, well, I need to know more about the creators. And I learned about the PS1 game. And I was like, what the fuck is, like, what are they doing? And I love everything about what they're doing here. And it's dark and it's kind of, it's fucked up, but there's a lot of really important shit that they talk about that is relevant to today, both mental health and internet. But also, there's a lot of stuff that is relevant in a different way with how a certain science is being explored. Like, it's just fascinating. And I'll leave my ranting to that because I do not want to turn this into a solo episode of Chilluminati. Because
another
could.
Hour and a half Eva episode.
I feel like this has been a really good pit. If you're listening right now and you enjoyed that segment, you should check out Chilluminati. They've been doing it for 8 years. It's
every
I fall asleep
alien
to it
episode.
Often and I have horrible dreams. So.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
The number of times that I'll put on an episode, because I like listening to my friends like podcasts and videos when I'm falling asleep. It's comforting. And so I'll put on something like Chilluminati. I'll fall asleep and wake up to like, and who even knows where the feet are buried now? And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, that's I've had the recent issue of I usually have nightmares related to something I'm researching in the show. If it's rough, if serial killers in particular will do that.
Yeah.
But aliens, abduction dreams constantly. And it's always awful. It's never good. And it's always up to the point where they get me, like I'm hit by a tractor beam or something. And as I'm being pulled up and I realize I can't move, I like wake up. And I like,
you know how you're like, you're not supposed to eat 3 hours or 4 hours before bed. You got to like, keep your research. Yeah, 4 hours yeah. before bed. And then, yeah. like,
but am I really a conspiracy podcast? I'm not doing that shit at like 3 a.m.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Hyped on caffeine.
If the glare isn't shining off of, you know, some like
skin
light sunglasses,
blue.
But you're like, yeah.
But if you are into that stuff, though, like, watch this show. Like, I think you're going to get a lot. There's more shit in this that, like, is fascinating. Or if you watch the show and you're like, what the fuck are they talking about with Majestic 12 Roswell stuff? Go research it and then watch the show again.
Dude, you should get the boys to watch this.
I could get Alex to watch it, no problem. I don't know if I could get Jesse to sit down past a couple of episodes and like.
Does Jesse watch anime? Or is
no.
he no? Okay.
Sometimes.
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, but nothing recent. But this isn't recent. This is Cowboy Bebop era.
Here.
It is. It is. Absolutely. I absolutely could get Alex to do it. I will try to get Jesse to do it. I don't
know
if it'll
work. It's only 12 episodes. Each episode's 20 minutes.
I'm the man that introduced him to his new favorite director, Neil Breen.
Oh, no,
he knows of Neil Breen because of me. I made him. I made him.
Everything I've learned
three.
About Neil Breen has been against my will.
Same.
Yeah, you're welcome. He hated the first movie. The second movie, he was cackling. By the third, the man was a fan. he can't help it. Anyway, go watch Serial Experiments Lane. I really enjoyed this. I would recommend this show. It is, you just be prepared for a show about vibes if you don't like, you know, if you don't know any of that other shit.
Incredible atmosphere. Yeah. This show will make
art sense. Holds up. It really doesn't look like a 90s show minus the computers. The computers very much feel 90s. Fun facts. The show is also obsessed with Apple. I don't know if you realize that.
I did.
The show is filled with Apple references. The operating system Copland is a failed reference to a failed Apple project. The voice that says the episodes of the titles, like Layer 01, is the Mac whisper text to speech. The Navi computers.
Nuts.
The Navi computers are based on the rumored Knowledge Navigator tablet that was a concept by Apple itself. A lot of Apple references.
Yeah, Apple
really
was like at that time, it was like a big and up and comer for like the technology space. So I can see why.
Mm.
And apparently, for a while, the present day, present time, ha 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 guy. Was like a meme online for a good minute.
Really?
Yeah. He was like a big community, like a meme because of just like how jarring it is compared to the rest of the show. I thought there was gonna be more to that. There would be more, but no, it was the same thing every time. all right, that's it. You would all recommend or not recommend Serial Experiments Lane? Dodger.
I would recommend. What a fucking weird show. I loved it.
I'm so
like
glad.
Like I said, I don't think that you need to know what's going on, honestly. I think you still walk away with, like, I need to touch grass, right? Like you kind of walk away with the with the the message, whether you understand what's going on or not.
Give the show a couple episodes for it to click into place, and then I think you can definitely like, episode one doesn't do a good job of being like
not the best setup. Yeah, I would recommend it. I think the worst thing a show can do is be boring, and this is not boring, that's for sure. Yeah, like I said, being uncomfortable and watching shit that you don't walk away from saying that's the best thing I've ever seen is super important. So yeah, I'd also recommend it.
Hell yes. And I would as well. I think his show is phenomenal to watch. The art is beautiful. The visual imagery is fantastic. It's just well done all the way around.
And that's Mike's final anime recommendation for
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, that's it for a while
forever.
Anyway. I don't have much.
Yeah.
I don't have much. As far as weird ones go, I think that's it. All my other ones are really like Record of Lodoss Wars, which is like a fantasy anime. Trouble Chocolate, which is just like a terrible comedy anime. It's dumb. We'll get to those another time.
We do need to figure out what we're doing because we got Mob season one.
Yeah, yes. Next up, we got Mob Psycho season one.
Mob was supposed to be our long show, and it was one episode less than this show. There's 12 episodes. So I've already finished my rewatch, so we need to figure out what's going on afterwards. I think I dropped some ideas, but yeah, it's up to...
As long as we figure it out by the time we do the Mob episode,
right? For sure.
So that's next. We will not... It will not be 6 months before the next one, I promise. But more regular. Thank you guys for joining us.
Can we say that every episode?
Yeah, but we didn't this time.
Even if we hit our stride and become like really regular with it every time, can we be like, and it wasn't 6 months. You're welcome.
That's fine with me. We'll be back soon. Thank you guys for listening. I'm excited for talk about Mob next. I'm halfway through. I'm not all the way done, but soon.
So good.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.